Lord God, as I come before you and before these, your people, I ask you, O Lord, to cleanse me, O God. You know the week I have endured. You know what has been on my heart. But God, right now, I ask you to come, O God, and let your word be known. Let your word be heard. Let your word be spoken. Touch me this day, O Lord, in a special way that I might be less and you might be more. This, O God, is my humble prayer. Amen. First Sunday in Advent, we talked about keeping awake. Second Sunday in Advent, we talked about repentance. Last week, we talked about what would you want to see? But this Sunday morning, we're talking about going against the grain. Going against the grain. In our text this morning, I want you to know that in my heart, I would want to believe that this ought to be one of the happiest occasions in Joseph's life. Joseph is about to be married to his betrothed, and I just want to believe that Joseph is feeling pretty high, that probably what has been on his mind prior to this text is how things might turn out, how he might do the kiss, what outfit he might wear, whether everybody would show up at the wedding party on time. I want to believe that if I was Joseph, I'd have been thinking the same thing for when Barbara and I got married. I was thinking about all of those sort of things. Like how is the mother and mother-in-law is going to get along? And is the father-in-law is going to be all right? And are the cousins going to act right? Because my cousins can act a little goofy. You know what I'm saying? So this idea with Joseph, I want to believe that Joseph was thinking probably some of the same things I was thinking. Are we going to be able to have enough food for everybody? Is everybody going to be comfortable? Where are they going to sleep? How are we going to put them in? I want to believe that this is what Joseph would have been thinking about leading up to what is about to happen. Because as they say, he was going to get mad. He was finna get married. And I want to think that he was thinking all of those sort of technical thoughts about what it might look like, what it might be, even where they might live. For indeed, I remember thinking all of those things as Barbara and I were going through this moment of preparation and planning for our time. I wasn't thinking as much about her dress, I'll tell you that right now. I was thinking more about how I would look and what outfit I was going to wear and whether I would stumble in the words when it came to the I do part. You know what I'm saying? That I do?
How'd it turn out?
It turned out pretty good. Turned out pretty good. It's been I doing since 33 years, so it's been good. The I do's worked. Yeah, the I do's worked. And so here is Joseph in the midst of all of this going on. And then he discovers that his wife is with child. He not only discovers that she's with child, but the truth of the matter is, he had nothing to do with it. I mean, really, I'm just telling you, that's what text says. So now, his betrothed that he is excited about and doing all this future planning and future thoughts and everything is going along well, and now he finds out that she is with child. Wow. Now what does he do? Because you see, in the time of this text, in the culture of this faith, and by the way, in the culture of still faith traditions today, if your wife has, your intended has gotten pregnant, and you are betrothed to her to be married, Joseph could easily have had her stoned to death. There would be no question, there'd be no doubt, there'd be no issue. He could easily just say, you know what? We got a problem here. And by custom, I have the right to have your life taken away from you. Imagine that being placed on your plate as you were just moments ago, thinking about what it would be like to be in marriage and in an environment together, and now you've discovered that she is with child. What I like about the text, though, is that Joseph had to think about what the choices he could make, what moves he would take. And he did have another choice. The other choice is he could just walk away. He could just dismiss this process. The family wouldn't be happy. The word would get out. There'd be trouble in the city. There'd be trouble in the community. But he could easily just walk away and dismiss it. In essence, going against the grain. And what does Joseph do? Joseph contemplates it. I want to believe that Joseph didn't make this decision in 2 minutes. I want to believe that Joseph didn't make it in an hour. I want to believe that Joseph spent a day or two thinking about what he would do, how it would look, how it would be. And Joseph, in the end, decides, no, I will not abuse, mistreat, talk about, disrespect Mary. No, I will not do that. What I will do in turn is I will just dismiss it. I will do it quietly so nobody knows. Well, the family will have a clue. The wedding invitations went out. Somebody knew a wedding was happening. The family's already exchanged things. But still, we can dismiss this quietly. It hasn't hit the press yet. It hasn't hit the internet. It hasn't made the news. It's not on Twitter. So I'm okay right now. And then he has a dream. A dream as he lies down in the night. And an angel from the Lord would come to him, as our scripture tells us, and say to him, no, do not walk away from this. Do not leave Mary. But instead, you stay with her. And you marry her. For indeed, the child that she is about to be born will be called Emmanuel. And Joseph wakes up, and I want to think that Joseph might have pinched himself, Kira, and said, wait a minute, did I have that dream or not? Did that really happen? I want to believe that he was thinking, whoa, wait a minute. This is now not what I had in mind. Now, I was going to go against the grain by simply just saying, you know what? I will dismiss her quietly. I won't have any offense to it. But now I'm being told in a dream that I am to marry her. Oh, what people would say. What people would know. What people must think. I am now being asked to marry her. Our scripture doesn't tell us that he spent 3 days trying to figure this out. Our scripture doesn't tell us that he spent 20 minutes. Our scripture simply says that in that waking up, in that moment, that Joseph not only chose to go against the grain, but he chose to go way against the grain. He chose to marry her anyway. He chose to be with her anyway. Not knowing what this would be like, not knowing the stress and strain that we will know that comes to his life, not knowing the trials and tribulations that he would have to go through, not knowing that sometimes he would be worried for his very life because of the actions he's taken. He will not know all of these things, but what he did do was he said, yes, Lord. He said, yes, Lord, in the midst of going against the grain of his family, of his culture, of his nature, he said, yes. He said yes. What a powerful witness. What a powerful witness for someone to say, you know what? I'm going to be obedient to what the Lord asked me to do. Now, I could have done what I want to do even still. I could have easily, Barbara said, you know what? I heard you last night, Angel, but I'm going to do what I want to do. Listen, I'm going to just dismiss her. It's easier for me this way. But that's not what Joseph does. Joseph says yes to the Lord, even in the midst of what will eventually happen, even in the midst of the stress and strains that will come. And I want to believe the reason Joseph said yes was because he knew this. He knew that God had him covered. From his head to his toe, from his back to his front, I want to believe that he knew that no matter what would come his way, no matter how things would struggle, no matter what joys or tears or sorrows would come, that he could lean on God's everlasting word and that God would protect, God will provide, God would meet his need. I'm going to tell you, it wasn't an easy choice. It wouldn't have been an easy choice for me. I would have struggled. I would have had a tough time. But Joseph said yes to the Lord. And I want to believe truthfully that Joseph might have had some other concerns, even though we are not told. But Joseph, in the midst of doing what was right and righteous and holy and true, did not let the culture of his day, did not let his own understanding get in the way, but he was open to what God was asking him to do. So here's the question. You and I live in a world where our culture will say this, our family traditions will say that, but God says do this. And the question is, will you and I honor God, or will we stick with what is the tradition, what is the expectation, or will we let ourselves go against the grain? Will we stand up for what is right, what is true, what is just? Now, this week, Pastor Juan and I got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We went downtown to the federal court building. And we stood in support of Alejandra Cano because of her being requested to be deported while she's lived in this country since she was 2 years old. Yes, she's made some mistakes. She's done some things she shouldn't have done. She's been places she shouldn't have gone. Yes, she's fallen short, but still, she is a child of God. And this country wants to deport her back to Chile, where she has no connections whatsoever. Her children are here. But our nation is saying, send her back. Is it something that I really want to do, to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning under the midst of stress and strain I've been under this week? The answer is no. But you know what? It is what I am called to do. It is what you are called to do. We are called to stand with those who are being mistreated and abused. You and I are called to stand with in God's place. We are called to be God's hands and feet. And yes, we are called to be obedient to what God asks us to do. Because he says to us, how can you love me who you've not seen and not love your neighbor, who you walk beside, who you see in the news, who you get reports about, who you know what's going on? How can you love me and not love them? How can you not support them while you're trying to say you support me? Because if you're supporting me, therefore you support them. Therefore, you stand with those who are in poverty, those who are hungry, those who are naked, those who have no shoes, no socks, no hats, no scarves. You stand with them. And I don't mean just stand. You love them. You touch them. You reach out to them. And you let them know that they are loved by God, not simply by words, but by actions and by deeds. Joseph went against the grain in a mighty, huge way. It was something that I don't know. I'm telling you, Hashi, God would have had to really work with me. But I want to believe that I would have been obedient to God in that moment. I would have listened to what God was asking me to do, that I wouldn't have had to spend a whole month researching and gathering up facts and trying to figure out what to do. I would have gone against the grain. So what is God asking you? What is God asking you to do to go against the grain? Where is God asking you to stand up and to be God's mouthpiece in a world right now that is so vicious? Where is God telling you, asking you to stand with those who are being mistreated, whether they are lesbians, gay, straight, transgendered, black, white, Mexican, Hispanic, whatever? Where is God calling you to walk with those who are struggling in the journey? Where is God calling you to love even when you're not sure you can love? Look out now, because that's the key. Can you love even when you don't even call? Where's God calling you to love even in the midst of people you don't know? This week we called myself and NMU and Pastor Juan again. Pastor Juan's a great soul. I got a phone call the week before from a young man who, I don't know whether he's from Haiti or from what part of Africa, but his language tells me that he's not native to the United States of America, and he called up and he says, I need your help. Never met him before, didn't know anything about him. And he called up and says, I need your help because they're going to take my stuff and put it on the street. And my first thought was, well, can't you call somebody else? I'm truth. My first thought was, can I have you call somebody? That was my thought. My first thought was, I ain't got time. My first thought is, oh man, really, not now. And then I was thinking, who can I get to do this, Susan? I was thinking, who could I call on? I was thinking about David, but I knew that one. Yeah, I was thinking about David. And then I said, Michael, this is on you. This is on you. I know right now that it doesn't fit in your schedule. It doesn't fit with your time. It doesn't fit with where you are. And it seems kind of weird and strange. And you don't know this person. He just called you up. I don't even know how he came to the church and why even ask. I'm like, oh, my Jesus. And yet this Thursday, we got a rental truck and we went over to his house, and me and Thra and Ika and Juan, we moved his stuff out of his apartment to the new apartment he's got to go in. And he stood right there and said to us, I don't know what I would have done. Nobody would help me. No one would help me. No one would come and assist me. I don't know how to get my stuff moved. They were going to put my stuff on the street. I just don't know what I would have done had you not offered to help me. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you that today we're being asked to go against the grain, to do something that we're not comfortable with, something we're not expecting of, something that we're not sure we want to do. But I'm telling you, in this Advent season, not only in the Advent season, but in our lives, we are called to do the work of Christ in the world, even when it doesn't feel comfortable, even when you don't feel you have time. Even when you don't feel that you have the energy to get up and go out and stand on a protest line or write a senator or support your neighbor or be with someone who is homeless or to sit and talk with someone. Yes, it doesn't always come at the time and place that's most comfortable for you. Now look out now. It don't come when it's comfortable for you. It comes when it's comfortable for God. And God's time is not your time. It's God's time. Sisters and brothers, our example from Joseph today is a reminder to you and me that you and I are called to go against the grain in some pretty, sometimes serious ways. We're not always being asked to stay with our partner because they have a child, but there are many couples today who stay together even in the midst of the fact that the child is not theirs. There are many couples who are struggling to be loved and wanted by their families, who are just wanting to be received just as they are. There are many today who want to just have food on their table. There are many today who are asking you and me to step out of our comfort zones and out of our goodness and good places and spaces, but to serve and to do for others. Yes, today, God has already asked you to do something, I believe. And if God hasn't, trust me, God will. Trust me, God will. For those of us who believe in the living God, we are being called to live out of places and spaces that are the most comfortable for us. And trust me, if you do, you must obey. So this morning, as you live into next week and Christmas, as you live into the new year that is yet to come, know that you and I are called not only in this Advent season, but in the Advent seasons of our lives. We are called to go against the grain. Whether it's in politics, economics, whether it's in social justice, we are called to go against the grain. And I trust and I pray that when God sends a message to you and to you and to you and to you, that you will know that God has your front, your back, your top, your side, your bottom. God's got protection all around you, that you can do what God asked you to do. I will remind you, as Joseph will find out, that it doesn't mean that you will live in a rose garden. It doesn't mean that you won't have some trials and tribulations. It don't mean that you won't struggle sometimes. It don't mean that you won't cry in the midnight hour every once in a while. It don't mean that everything will be howdy howdy. But I'll tell you one thing, God will be present with you no matter what you choose to do in God's name. So this day, go go this day in this sense of being courageous and doing something that God has called you to do that goes against the grain. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Can the church say amen again?
Amen.
Can the church say amen one more time?
Amen.
I think you meant it that time. Let us sing.